drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. Visual artist Dr. Christian Thompson is showcasing his first virtual reality work, Bayi Gadia, Seeing Desert, at the Australian Centre for the Moving Image. And artist Joan Ross previewed her first VR work earlier this year. Both are recipients of the Mordaunt Family Commission VR, supporting Australian artists who have never worked in virtual reality create new works in this medium. And they're both my guests in the drawing room. Christian and Joan, welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Christian, how did it come about that you were commissioned to create your first virtual reality works? What were you doing before?
Prior to Bayi Gadia, I had staged my first survey exhibition, Ritual Intimacy, which has been touring for the last 2 years. And part of that exhibition was a newly commissioned work, Berserse, which was a multi-channel screen work and immersive sound environment. So when I was thinking about the next step where I was going to go from there, virtual reality seemed like the next obvious step.
How about for you, Joan?
A few people had mentioned that they thought that my work might be suited to virtual reality, and I had a few odd experiences in that and was actually a little bit put off to start. And then I was offered an opportunity to try out some VR for a week with someone, which was what spurred me on to apply for the ACME Mordaunt Commission.
What were your experiences that put you off?
I felt a little bit like VR could be very gimmicky, and the way that the people were talking to me about it seemed a little gimmicky and not so much art related.
How about you, Christian? Did you have those concerns that it's a bit gimmicky? Because it is kind of on trend.
Well, I think with a lot of VR work, sometimes there's too much emphasis put on the actual technology and not enough emphasis put on the actual conceptual premise of the work. So I felt like going in that the work had to have a very strong and robust and well thought out conceptual premise, and then the technology could add to that.
So you've actually trained Christian as a sculptor and also photography, video, performance. How did you go about, as you say, you know, the concept being the most important thing, but actually translating your work, your practice into virtual reality? Was it tricky?
Well, I think over the course of almost a 20-year career now, I think I've slowly moved towards more time-based kind of work. So I started off in sculpture and then moved into photography, and then from photography to video, and then live performance, and then immersive sound environments and screen-based work. So virtual reality seemed like the combination of all of those things together, the spatial, the experiential, the sonic, the visual, it's completely immersive.
Joan, you showcased your second exhibition and premiered your virtual reality works in March this year. What was your theme? Let's talk about the actual work itself. What were you exploring?
Well, just as Christian said, because of my concerns around virtual reality, I needed my concepts to be, you know, incredibly strong and well considered. One of my experiences with the very small amount of virtual reality I tried was that I felt the greed of the viewer. So I noticed that when people would put on the headset, as soon as they went into this other world, all they were after their own experience, regardless of how important the work was or just anything about what it was conceptually about. So I decided to use that in the work I made for the ACME Mordaunt Commission to basically make people's greed become their way of colonizing. So they basically start to destroy simply by their own desire to make things happen.
Wow. How about you, Christian?
Kind of a different approach. my work is kind of based on a swimming hole where I swam as a child. My whole family, we grew up swimming there in central southwest Queensland in Barkhalden, where my family's from. And the creek hasn't run for almost a decade, although it started running recently during the production of this work, which I thought was very coincidental.
Well, it's mysterious, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. as I was talking about, it's like, oh, it's actually started running again. So it was nice to go home and actually be able to swim there. But it's a very sentimental place for us. And I wanted to used landscape as a kind of barometer, not only for my own autobiographical, my own sort of biography, but also as a barometer for the sort of impact of human activity on that very vulnerable semi-desert hinterland environment, and more broadly, the kind of the feeling of climate change. So when you're in the work, you're standing in the and I wanted to see the river flow again. That was the sort of trajectory behind the work, is that I wanted to sort of, in a weird way, sort of restore what the memory that I had of it as a child. And also it's an immersive sound environment. So I'm singing in our language, which is considered a lost language. And that soundtrack is synchronized with the landscape as it builds and forms around you. And so you see the landscape move from morning, midday, twilight, nighttime, and then it will all time lapse, and you see the whole, everything revolve around you in about 20 seconds, and then it sort of turns into tiny particles and disappears. So it's sort of about the transience and the ephemerality of the natural world, but also bringing people very much into that space where they're experiencing the language of that landscape where it's been spoken for 120,000 years, but also making that part of the greater sort of Australian cultural identity and conversation. I think language is a very important part of my work, and the art environment provides a context to archive and to reignite and re-energise language.
On RN, I'm Patricia Carvelis. Visual artists Christian Thompson and Joan Rosson are in tonight's drawing room. On that issue of language, so you're singing in language.
Mm-hmm.
How did you access the language? You say it's considered a, you know, language that's no longer spoken. What process did you go through?
Well, we grew up speaking a kind of Creole. My father spoke Bidgera, my grandparents spoke Bidgera, so it was a process of learnt language and then also research and going through documents. There was an anthropologist who came to our area in the 60s. He actually wasn't an anthropologist. Well, he kind of was, but he was a dentist, and he ended up learning the language from people because he had to in order to be able to do his job. So thankfully we have that document as a record now to refer to.
And how important is that to the community as well, that you know, your art linking to, in some ways, language restoration?
I feel like historically part of the sort of underlying sort of agenda of colonialism was to attach shame to practicing and asserting your cultural identity. So for me, this is about kind of language is such a defining aspect of culture, and it's just so important that once you are able to articulate yourself in your own language, for me, in my sound work, it taps into another part of a very natural part of myself, and it's a way of showing that our culture continues.
Joan, you mentioned that you thought VR was a bit gimmicky, and then you embraced it, of course, and you've worked through it now. Has it changed your perceptions? Because it's quite an immersive form of art too. I mean, this is the thing. I can't think of anything more immersive. Has your view changed on it dramatically?
Yes, but I still think that because it's technologically heavy, I think it's actually to actually make sure that you're making art within it, which I think both Christian and I have achieved in such different ways really well. I don't actually think it's the easiest thing to do when it relies so heavily on technology.
Mm. It's a very drawn out process. I think it's very different to any way that I'd ever worked before, because you're working with large teams of people, and it's a long time before you're actually seeing the work made because of the different processes that you have to go through. So I don't know how you experienced that, Joan, but for me it was a very different way of working.
Very different way of working, and it's the staggering of it is disruptive in some way, different to when you're by yourself or working with one person working on a project that you understand how to make.
I think your role becomes very different in the process, because you become the person who has to sort of steer the ship in many ways and make sure that the technology doesn't overwhelm the sort of purity or the kind of conceptual intention of the work.
And how long does the experience go for? How about you? I'll start with you, Joan.
My experience goes to around 8 minutes, and that's only because we really had to put a time limit on it. I mean, it would have its own natural end depending on who you were and how much you understood about activating the space. So in my work is very different to Christian's in terms of when you first appear in the work, you've got a headset, you're holding hand controls and you embody a colonial woman and you can pick up objects and move them around and basically cause chaos as you do it.
How about yours, Christian? How long does yours go for?
It's a 7-minute experience and it took a year to make.
I love how dramatically you said that. 7 minutes.
7 minutes.
1 year. So quite an intensive process.
Yeah.
Why does it take so long? Like, dumb question, but
well,
help me.
I think in my case, firstly, I had to generate the sound component of it. And that was the focus before we could even think about doing the virtual animation side of it. Then we had to go to Barcaldine, where my family's from. We had to capture all of the exteriors using drones and just SLR, you know, camera. And then they had to be sent to the VR firm, and then the VR firm sort of interpreted them, and then we had to storyboard the work. It's almost like making a film, but there's a huge amount of energy and sort of consultation and exchange that goes into visualizing the work even before you get to the making part.
And what was it like actually going through the experience of watching it after it was complete? It must be really surreal in some ways.
I sort of felt in the middle of the project that I never wanted to work in VR ever again. And then actually when I saw the work, I was really blown away by how cinematic it feels, but also how emotional it feels as well. I mean, I try to put a lot of heart in my art and really wanted that to feel present in the work. And now all I can do is think about VR, VR, VR.
So now you've become obsessed. You're a convert.
I'm obsessed, yeah.
Even though clearly it was overwhelmingly painful.
Yeah, I'm a masochist. What can I say?
I think so. I like it though. How about you, Joan? Are you a convert?
I've started to think about it in terms of art, but I've also started to think about it in terms of the power of it and, you know, how incredible it could be for children in hospital, for example. So I've started to take it into a wider thoughts. Yeah.
I think it's sort of in two different worlds as well. It's part of the screen-based film world and it's also part of the art world. So you're kind of existing in two very different kind of areas. But I think for me the Modern Family VR Commission was a kind of opportunity to amplify and push those aspects of my practice. And there is so much kind of control in terms of the artifice and the kind of the truly immersive values of the work that I find that very exciting.
Working in the VR has shifted my thoughts around the other work that I make, because I do a lot of video animation, and it's actually made me go deeper into the surface of it because of what I saw that VR could do.
What's next for you, Joan?
I'm going to have a little rest.
And then reconsider whether you want to torture yourself again with VR.
Yeah, exactly. I need to let things sit for a little while because, it does need to, you just need to regroup a little and see exactly where you're at.
How about you, Christian?
I'm just opened, I'm sort of thinking about a new work. Yeah.
Any ideas? Is it VR?
VR, yeah.
Of course. You're all in, aren't you?
I'm in. I'm sort of thinking about a new work. I mean, the cool thing is that it's there's a year between projects. So if you have a year to work on one project and you've already completed another project, potentially that previous project could still be touring by the time you've finished your next. So I think as an artist, it's great to have that amount of time to really focus and kind of flesh out all of the kind of options for a work. And I find that very interesting. It's for a tiny, short experience. It takes quite a lot of time to produce it, but it's a very different way of working.
I want to thank you both. Amazing work, even if it's tortured you both just a little. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Visual artist Christian Thompson and Joan Ross have been my guests in tonight's Drawing Room, and you can experience their experiences that they've made through VR at the Australian Centre for Moving Image in Melbourne. Entry is free.